This Eid al-Adha, this Eid al-Adha, this Eid al-Adha, this Eid al-Adha. May Allah's blessings bring happiness, peace and prosperity in your life. Eid Mubarak, Eid Mubarak, Eid Mubarak, Eid Mubarak.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Many respected viewers of Madani Channel welcome you in our program Halal or Haram Inshallah Azawajal today we will talk about the things which are halal inshallah Azawajal We'll talk about halal income We'll talk about fada'il excellence of earning halal income And we will also talk about the wa'idat how Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has condemned haram income and what are the blessings of halal so be with us from start to end an immense amount of knowledge inshallah that you are going to learn from Quran and ahadith we've got our muballighin of Dawat Islami with us inshallah before we talk to them on this very topic let's make few good intentions my Sheikh Tariqat Amir of Ahl al-Sunnah Hazrat Allama Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Damat Barakatuhum al-Aliya has given us a beautiful mindset that we should make good intentions I make this intention that I will present this program for the pleasure of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala yes dear respected viewers the foremost intention of every believer should be any act he is performing he should do that only for the sake of Allah Tabarak wa ta'ala to earn the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala you can make this intention inshallah azawajal you will watch this program from start to end you'll remember what you learned and you will pass this knowledge on to others and the most important is whatever we learn inshallah we will act upon so now let's go towards our muballighin of da'wati islam assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh
wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh
Waqas bhai, how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, yourself is on my
head. Alhamdulillah, Eid Mubarak to you, mashallah.
Thank you, Zain, mashallah.
Thank you very much for coming in this beautiful program. Zain, Hassan bhai, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Eid Mubarak to you also.
Jazakallah khairah. Eid Mubarak to you as well.
Jazakallah khairah. Zain, Waqas bhai and Hassan bhai, as you are aware that whenever Eid al-Adha arrives, alhamdulillah, Muslims across the globe, they perform ritual sacrifice, they give qurbani in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And whenever this Eid comes, straight away, a term halal also comes in our mind. Like halal or haram, this term, whenever we talk about something to eat, especially we are very conscious, especially Muslims are very conscious, okay, they want to find a label halal or haram, okay, they would read instructions whether this product is halal or haram. It's very good, mashallah, they've got an understanding. But I think more emphasizes on labels, more emphasizes on eating halal. But I think we have got less emphasis on earning halal income. So today, inshallah, when we will talk about halal eating, we will also talk about halal source of income. And what are the wa'idat, right? How Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has condemned about earning haram. We'll talk on this. So I think it's a good idea to start with earning halal. So how would you start with, please?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rizwan bhai, mashallah, this is a very good and important topic, especially at this time in the UK, especially as well, that, as you said, we focus a lot on what we put into our body should be halal. Of course, that's very important as well. We look for the labels, we look for the ingredients, but the source of income, that what money do we use to buy that halal food?
Very good.
Very few people think about that. And the awliya Allah, they were very cautious on where their source of income was from.
True.
There's a great account about Sayyidina Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. He was a cloth merchant. He used to buy and sell fabric. And it's mentioned that Sayyidina Hafs bin Abdul Rahman has stated, he used to buy cloth from Sayyidina Imam Abu Hanifa. And Sayyidina Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, whenever he would sell some cloth which had a defect, he would mention this to Sayyidina Hafs bin Abdul Rahman, that, oh Hafs, this cloth, this fabric has a defect. Make sure when you sell this cloth, you tell this defect to the buyers where you are selling to. So Sayyidina Hafs, rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that one day I sold this fabric which had a defect, but I forgot to mention The defect was Sayyidina Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi had told me to mention. So I forgot to do that. So he says, when Sayyidina Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, he found out that the fabric I sold was sold on without the defect being mentioned, he says, all that money that he got, Sayyidina Imam Abu Hanifa, from that transaction, he gave his sadaqah in the way of Allah. So this, you can see the awliya Allah, the saints, how much importance and emphasis they used to give on halal income. Today, many, alhamdulillah, of us are businessmen. We, for example, when you buy a car, when you sell a car, if you are selling cloth or clothing, if you are selling even a service, how many of us actually go and mention this defect? This car I'm selling to you, it's got this defect in it. True. Or do we try to hide that defect? That cover it up, doesn't matter, let this car go. Now let me sell it, let me get some money. Afterwards that person can find out the defect. This is not what Islam teaches us. If you are selling something with a defect, you can still sell that thing. But mention that defect, that this is car has this problem, this cloth I'm selling, this clothing I'm selling has this problem, and this makes it permissible for us to sell these things.
SubhanAllah. Waqas bhai, mashallah, very beautiful account you mentioned regarding Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala, and a leader of Hanafi school of thought, a great scholar and alim. You see, these sort of things are specially noted by scholars, ulama, those they've got knowledge of deen in Islam. So they're aware of the fact that what is halal and what is haram and how to do trading, especially business. But unfortunately, if one person wants to become a doctor, he seeks knowledge, right? If a person wants to become an engineer, he would go to a university, he would seek knowledge about that fact. Or anything in dunya, we try to learn. We seek the knowledge. Unfortunately, when we want to become a businessman, we have got a mindset to do masters in business management. We have got a mindset to learn accounting, to do better business, right? We have got an understanding how can we learn about the tips to grow our business. We would do many courses, we would go for many maybe diplomas and degrees in order to flourish our business. And we would hire those professionals, they can help us. But unfortunately, being Muslims, we do not learn at first place whether this business I'm going to do, do I know the ins and outs, halal and haram bits which are involved in it? Jeeves of Madani Channel, that's a very important point. The way we hire professionals, accountants, and those they can flourish our business, the very important bit is that we should scan our business. We should go to the scholars, ulama, muftiyani kiram, and they should see what we are selling at first place. Is it right or not? It is halal or haram way of earning source of income. That is very important.
Our religion, Islam, is so beautiful that whenever you do something, it's also important that we find out how to do that thing. Even in our ibadat, for example, namaz. Before you read namaz, find out how to read namaz. Before you go to hajj, find out how to do hajj. Same in business. Before you do business, it's important to go and find out how to do business. The ins and outs, the rulings of business. Even when you have children, what are my rights of my children? What are my rights when you get married? What are the rights of the wife?
Sure.
This is our religion. Not just go and do something, you know, don't think about the consequences. Islam says, go do your research first. How to do that thing, then go do that thing. Then we'll be able to do that thing right,
Alhamdulillah, Waqas, you've got clear instructions in Quran and in Ahadith regarding halal and haram. Halal has been clearly mentioned and haram has been clearly mentioned. Okay, in our Sharia, we have been given quite clear instructions. Before I come to you, Hasan bhai, I've got an ayah of Quran I would like to include in this program. Because what instructions Quran is giving to us, what guidelines Quran gives to us in this regard. It has been mentioned in Quran, Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ayah 88, verse 88, part 7. It has been mentioned, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَكُلُوا مِنَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي أَنْتُمْ بِهِ مُؤْمِنُونَ. Translation from Kanzul Iman. Eat from the sustenance which Allah has given to you, the lawful and the pure. And fear Allah in whom you believe. SubhanAllah. Yeah. And another beautiful verse of Holy Quran, where it has been mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, part 2, Ayah 168, verse, Ya أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ كُلُوا مِنَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O mankind, eat from what is lawful and pure in the earth, and do not follow the footsteps of the devil. Undoubtedly, he is your open enemy. What a clear instruction, subhanAllah, right? Dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, it is stated in Tafsir Suratul Jinan, halal and pure means that thing which is halal itself, such as meat, vegetables, and lentils, etc., and which we obtain through permissible means. This is also important. The source of income, that is, it should not be obtained by means of theft, bribery, or robbery, meaning the means which are haram. So Quran has given us clear instructions that we need to eat from halal, right, and pure stuff, what Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made available for us. And as we have heard from this, that source of income, that is also important, and we should be very much careful on this. Waqas bhai, Quran is clearly mentioned.
There are many, as you said, ayahs of the Quran, hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about your source of income. It's very important that today, unfortunately, a large number of Muslims are selling alcohol. A large number of Muslims are selling pork. Unfortunately, there's Muslim youth out there on the street selling drugs.
Allah Akbar.
This is a very big issue, especially in the UK today, that you go to a shop and you see Muslims are serving alcohol. Muslims are buying alcohol.
Unfortunately.
And you see on the street corners that drugs are being sold, haram things are being done. And then you go to the shop and you say, make sure our meat is halal. Mm-hmm. You know, where is the essence in that? That you can't, it says two wrongs don't make a right. You can't go and get half of my halal meat and say, oh no, I want to eat a halal food. Both things, the food which is going in your body and the income which you are using to buy that food must be halal. So check your income. I urge the viewers of Madhi Channel, check your income. If you are in doubt, go and ask the scholars. Alhamdulillah, Da'wat Islami provides a free service, Da'wat Iftah Ahl Sunnah. Pick up the phone, this is what I do, is it halal? This is how I earn my money, is it halal? Many of us, you know, we go into interest, unfortunately, we go to so many haram things and we think it's okay. But no, it's not okay. We need to go and find out from the scholars
Masha'ala.
And make sure our income is halal as well.
Masha'ala. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is spark, pure, and accepts pure. And He accepts whatever is pure. Especially if we are earning haram and we want to give sadaqah in the part of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, do you think it is appropriate to do so? Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is spark and He accepts spark. So we should give in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala our pure income. There are people, Hasan bhai, throughout their life, okay, they've been earning haram, okay, but whenever the time of Hajj comes, okay, they are ready to go to Hajj, they are ready to go to Umrah, and they use that money to go to Hajj and Umrah. We are not specifying anyone, right? Generally speaking, here on the topic that is very important. You are going in the house of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. You're going to do Hajj for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So you should use your halal income to go to Hajj. You should use your halal income to feed your family. You should use your halal income even to feed yourself. And definitely, there'll be a question on the Day of Judgment. Okay? For where did you earn and where did you spend? So spending
is afterwards.
The first is, where did you earn from? The Hasan bhai, taking further this discussion, what would you like to add?
We always talk about the blessings of business. A lot of people think that blessings mean that if you have a lot of wealth, it's a blessing.
Yeah.
Actually, blessings lie with earning halal food and earning halal, doing halal business. That those who earn and eat halal, they will see the blessings in their business. And this, I know the people discuss about a lot of these things that, you know, my family member now, my kids don't listen to me. My kids, they are, you know, disobeying the parents. So we need to check all of these things as well, you know, that why these are my kids and my family, they are disobeying. Maybe my income is not right. Maybe my income is haram.
Yeah.
So we need to check when we're doing a business, when we're doing, even when we go to work with someone, even that work we need to check as well from our scholars, that it is halal or not.
Very good point. I would like to just add here, taking further your point. Sayyidina Yahya bin Mu'adh rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has said, obedience is hidden in the treasure of Allah Almighty, and dua is its key, and halal food is the teeth of the key. Right? If the key has no teeth, the door of the treasure will not be opened. When the treasure is not opened, how can we get to the obedience hidden in it? Therefore, protect your morsel and purify your food so that instead of darkness of bad deeds, the noor of virtuous deeds appears before you when you die. Continue to stop your body parts from the sin of consuming haram so that they can gain the pleasure of everlasting blessings of Allah Ta'ala. It has been stated in Quran, translation from Kanzul Iman, eat and drink with pleasure the reward of what you sent ahead in the past days. Dear respected viewers, it is said, and whoever does not refrain from consuming haram will eat hot and bitter tohar fruit after remaining hungry for a long time. It will be very bad and harmful food which will break the heart into pieces and will rip the liver and tear the body, causing unimaginably severe pain. This is, my dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, clear instructions from Quran. Okay, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has said eat. Okay, these are the blessings of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, but it should be pure. From the pure blessings of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, there are certain boundaries. We have to have in our mind that what are the boundaries of our Islamic law. So that should be in our mind. The things are clear. Halal and haram has been clarified in Quran, in Ahadith, by the sayings of different awliya-i kiram and self-salihin. So what do you say?
Some people think that just namaz, go to Hajj is ibadah for us. Earning halal risk is also ibadah for us. Was the companions were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a smart young man passed by, and they said, what if this young man spent his youth, his power in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal? The Sahaba were thinking this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if this man, if he's walking by and is going to earn sustenance for his young children, he is in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. If he is going to go and earn sustenance for his elderly parents, he is in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if he is protecting himself from begging in front of people and or consuming haram, even then he's in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. So if he is stopping himself from consuming haram, he's in the way of Allah. If he's going to earn halal for his children, he's in the way of Allah. If he's going to earn halal risk for his parents, he is in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. So we make intention in the morning when we leave for work, I'm going to earn for my children, I'm going to earn for my parents, I'm going to earn risk halal, I'm going to stay away from risk haram. Make this intention all day while you are at work. Your working is ibadah for you as well.
MashaAllah. Dear respective viewers of Madani Channel, the point Mubalik of Dawat Islami has mentioned that when we go to earn risk halal for our children, we should make this intention that this is also an ibadah, form of worship, alhamdulillah. So we should do that. But at the same time, there are certain parents, they are worried about their children. Definitely, it could not be the only cause, but one of the causes which have been mentioned by scholars and ulama, that if the children are not on the right path, then there could be a problem in the income, whether that was halal or haram, which was fed to them. Yeah, I clarified it again. I'm not saying this is the only reason. If children are not listening, they are on the wrong path, then we would say, no, parents, they did not earn halal. No, I'm not saying this. But one of the reasons which have been mentioned by scholars, by ulama, it is also written that if you do not feed halal to your children, tomorrow they will not do your obedience because you did not obey the commandments of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. You fed them haram, so their body flourished through haram means. When you fed them haram food, so then today they are not listening to you. Today they are walking on haram path. This could be one of the reasons. So if you want your children listen to you, if you want your children obey, if you want your children on a right path, so please find out what are the means through your earning and then your feeding. What is going in their stomach? That's very important. As we have heard, that when we feed our children, okay, that should be halal. We do a lot of hard work for these kids, for maybe our household, family members, wife, okay, they say, I want to buy this, I want to get this, I want to get this. They've got so many wishes and desires. And sometimes a person thinks, okay, I have to fulfill their desires. Mm-hmm. And then he ends up earning haram just because of their fulfilling the wishes of their family members. He ends up earning haram because they demand a lot. What do you think? What are the instructions of our deen and Islam in this regard? Should we earn haram to fulfill the demands and wishes of our family members who will not help us on the day of judgment? They will forget us.
Yes.
Okay, if we are feeding them haram to fulfill their demands, are they going to help us on the day of judgment? Is there anything to add?
When we feed our kids, our family members haram, obviously on the day of judgment they will not help us. It stated that Sayyiduna Faqih Abu Layth Samarkandi rahmatullah ta'ala stated, it is narrated that amongst a man's relatives, the closest relatives are his wife and children.
Okay.
And on the day of judgment, the wife and children of a man will humbly say in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, O our Lord, make this person give us our rights because he never gave us Islamic education and would provide us with haram food.
Allah.
And we were unaware of it. The person would then be beaten so severely for earning haram that his flesh would come off his bones.
Allah.
It stated further that then he would be brought to scale, that mizan, where angels would bring his good deeds equivalent to a mountain. Then one of his family members would come forward and say,
Allah.
I am short of virtuous deeds. And he will take some of them. Then another person from his family will come forward and say, you made me consume interest money.
Allah, Allah.
And he will also take some of his good deeds. In this way, his family members will take all of his good deeds.
Allah.
Then he would say, turning his face toward his wife and children in despair, alas, now I have the burden of those sins and acts of cruelty which are committed for you.
Allah.
The angels will say, he is the unfortunate person whose family has taken his virtuous deeds and he has entered hell because of them.
Allahu
Akbar. Can you imagine this, like, for example, all your life
you have been doing for them,
for your wife, for your children, and end of the day, because of what you've done for them, you go to the hellfire.
Allah.
They come, they take all your good deeds.
Yeah.
So a person thinks that he's doing something good. I'm helping my family, I'm providing a nice house, nice education, nice. Doesn't matter if it's halal or haram, as long as my children get a good education, get a good car.
Their demands are fulfilled.
Yeah. I don't care if it's halal or haram, people think that. And then on the day of judgment, because they will come and they will take all your good deeds, and you will take their sins. Can you imagine what will happen to that person? How much remorse and regret he will have on the day of judgment? So, no doubt, we have to earn for our children and our wives and our families, but make sure that's halal. Don't get stuck because of our children and our family. We get stuck on the day of judgment as well. So we need to be very careful that we don't, because of providing for others, we get stuck ourselves as well.
Because it was mentioned that a person would have good deeds equal to a mountain. Right? Now, we think we don't even have good deeds at first place. Right? So if we have fed and we have fulfilled the demands of our family members through haram means, I don't think it is something to do with any prophet in this dunya or hereafter.
Remember, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, a time will come upon people where a man will not care about how he has earned his wealth, whether by halal or haram means. So a person won't care. And this time, unfortunately, has come now. You can see when you look around us in your society, how many people actually bother to check if it's halal or haram. You know, as long as the money is coming in the bank, it's fine. And commenting on this hadith, it's been mentioned that is people will become careless about religion in the last era. Because they're going far away from religion, then they don't see the importance of halal and haram. Today, unfortunately, Muslims are away from namaz, away from hajj, away from giving zakat properly, they're away from deen. And because of that, unfortunately, we have gone into earning haram as well. And this will be bad for our dunya and for our akhirah as well. So we must be careful on how we are earning our risk as well.
Hasan, like, we are talking about halal and haram. Are there any ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam which guide us in this regard, that what are the blessings and barakas to earn halal income?
Yes, there are a lot of hadith in Mubarakah. The one mentioned here that whoever eats halal for 40 days, Allah Azza wa Jal will illuminate his heart and will make the springs of wisdom flow out of his tongue.
Subhanallah.
That is, he will speak words of wisdom.
Wow.
And Allah will guide him in the world and hereafter.
Subhanallah.
If you see that if you are earning halal food and you are feeding halal food, your heart will be illuminated as well.
Subhanallah. And you will speak words of wisdom.
And you speak words of wisdom. Alhamdulillah. Yes.
Subhanallah. This beautiful hadith in front of the viewers of Madani Shaykh Sayyidina Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala an humbly said to beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, oh beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, make dua that Allah Azza wa Jal answers my dua. The beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said to him, Ya Sa'd, atib mat'amaka takun mustajab al-da'wah. Purify your food, your du'as will be answered. Allahu Akbar. Dear respected viewers of Madani Sharif, if you want to become mustajab al-da'wat, if you want to become a person whose du'as are accepted in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, formula is given. We have got a beautiful understanding from this beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that we should purify our food, inshallah our du'as will be accepted. A beautiful point was mentioned by Haji Abdul Habib al-Tari Rukneshwira. That some people, they say that it's very hard for me to survive. I have to earn something to feed my family, right? Whether it is halal or haram, what can I do? Otherwise, I won't survive, my family won't survive. So he said that, why don't you earn halal? Purify your food. And you will become mustajab al-da'wat. Your dua will be accepted. Then you can make dua in the court of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, ya Allah bless me with more income. So how beautifully you can avoid from haram and you can become a mustajab al-da'wat. You pray in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, I would like to feed my family, myself, so help me. And inshallah Azza wa Jal, there will be barakah in purity.
Remember many issues today, family problems, marriage problems, children problems, business problems, could be because of us earning haram. My child is not listening to me. Ask yourself, what am I putting into this child? When we plant a tree, you look for the best soil, the seeds, make sure it's watered properly. Then a nice tree comes up.
The right feed.
So for example, when the child is not listening to me, check, ask yourself, why have I fed this child? The clothes that this child is wearing, where did that money come from? See, my marriage is not working out. The earning, the food that we are eating in our household, where did that come from? My business is not going very well. The food I'm putting into myself, the earnings I'm getting, where is that coming from? Check. And many of these, if you look back, it could be because of us eating haram. So we must make sure that our income is pure, is clean, is halal, to get the benefit in the dunya and the akhirah, inshallah.
Waqas, I would like to add this to into discussion that sometimes we close our eyes. Right? We know something is going wrong, especially in households, the women, right? If the husband is bringing money in, and suddenly, if there is a huge amount of funds available, right, and all their needs are being fulfilled, they are getting very expensive bags or maybe whatever they want, expensive clothing they are wearing. Sometimes they don't ask, where are you bringing this money? Mm-hmm. They're happy. It's coming, that's fine. Okay, whether it's halal or haram, it's fine. Likewise, parents also close their eyes. When a child, he grows up, he goes to work, suddenly he's got a very
nice car
outside standing, right? He's got very good clothing, very expensive branded clothing he's wearing. So we never ask, where is money coming from? How are you getting this? We think, okay, fine, he's working, he's getting, that's fine. And he is giving us. So do you think we should have such behavior? Or we should fear Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and we should ask question from the head of the family that are you feeding us halal or haram? Is there some sort of responsibility on us as a household, family members? And as a parent, should we ask from our child that all of a sudden this money is coming? Maybe it could be from drugs, maybe it could be from unlawful source means, and that could destroy this world and the hereafter also.
This happens a lot in the youth with their parents, as you said, especially if the parents are not well off, they were not well off before. And the child, he gets into something wrong. Might be drugs, might be anything. He's coming home with, as you said, big lump sums of money. Here, mom, £500 for you, £1,000 for you.
Nice car for you.
The mom and dad, they like to keep quiet. It's always coming, you know. First, we didn't have this. Now, we're getting these things. But remember, this will be for the akhirah and in the dunya as well. Whoever earns haram, you won't see the blessing of that as well. There are clear instructions in the Quran and Hadith about earning halal and eating halal. We've mentioned already.
Yeah.
We must make sure that we do this ourselves and our children as well. Make sure that, as you said, the blessing is not in big lump sum of money. It's in, it could be less, but it should be halal. The more halal we eat, inshallah, you see the blessing of that. And all the other issues, as you mentioned previously, about celebrities and people who have a lot of money, they nowadays there's so much depression. They haven't got that peace. They haven't got that sukoon. They're far away from the deen. So put your deen first, inshallah, you see the blessings in the dunya and in the akhirah.
Hasanai, what would you say?
Like the Wakafi said that, you know, in the UK especially, we see that a lot of youth in these days, they are driving luxury cars.
Mm.
And some of them are very young age, you know, they are only like 17, 18 years old and they're driving luxury cars.
Mm.
And then the people are, you know, they're asking parents questions. I had just the other day, I was sitting somewhere and the brother told me that he went to his friend's house.
Okay.
And when his friend's son came to him, and then they just met, and then he sees the clothes he was wearing, the car he was driving, and he asked to the father that, what is your son doing? Can you please have check that what he's doing? Because the way the life is living in this age, it looks a bit, you know, suspicious.
Mm.
And the father said, no, he's doing great. There's no issues and stuff like that. And then brother told me that after a week or 2 weeks, on his door, the police knocked the door.
Mm.
And they came to, we come to take your son. Said, what happened to him? That then the, you know, the police told him that your son is involved in the drugs.
Love.
The drugs and the gangs and all of this. Then the friend of his, the father told him that look after what he's doing. At that time, father closed the eyes. He didn't check that. But look at that. Now this person, the youth actually, he's going to go into the jails. He's going to go into the court cases and all of those things, you know.
Very interesting fact you mentioned. Dear respected viewers of Money Shell, this reminds me of Waqia, an account. There was a person who was imprisoned, right? And due to the fact that he was involved in robberies and then finally he would steal, they would do robberies and then he involved in murder. So there was a death penalty was written for him. It was issued, a decree was made by the judge. Now the day came when this person had to be hanged. Okay, death penalty was there for him. Now definitely when this is a time when a person has to be given the death penalty, the family members, they also come.
Mm.
So the family members were around. The last wish of that person was asked, what do you want to do at this moment? He said, I want to talk to my mom. Okay? And he was allowed to do so. Now, before his death, he walks towards the mother and he says, I want to say something in your ear. She gets that closer. That he, maybe he's going to tell me something about. So anyway, what he does, he bites the ear of mother. And everybody started blaming that son. He has no fear of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, or he's got no shame at all that he is going to die and he is biting the ear of mom. How disgraceful this person is. Everyone started saying this. He said, stop. The very first day when I stole a pencil from my friend's bag and I brought home and I told my mom, she did not discourage me.
Mm.
And that led me to become such a big gangster. And then I did robberies and I murdered. And today I'm going to be hanged. Allahu Akbar. Dear respected viewers of Madani Shell, this account tells us that this is very, very important. When we are doing tarbiyah, when we are bringing up our children, we should tell them that what is halal and what is haram.
This is a very important issue for today's society. Our child, for example, goes to the sweet shop, when we go shopping, and he picks up a sweet to put it in his pocket. We didn't pay for it. The parent doesn't think much of it. Oh, it's only a 50p or £1 sweet. We go to somebody else's house, the child picks up a toy and brings it home. Or the child, very young children, they go to school. They don't know what they're doing sometimes, but they bring a toy from school and they bring it home. Us as parents, we should teach our children, better, this is wrong. Son, daughter, this is wrong. Go and give it back. Until we don't say that, make them do these actions, they won't know what's right and wrong. As soon as we say, it's only a 50p chocolate, it's only a £5 toy, they will think it's okay to do. And as you just mentioned, the waqia that you have mentioned, this could be our children tomorrow. That if we don't stop them today from doing wrong from a very young age, when they get older, today is £1, tomorrow it'll be £50. Just take a tenner from mum's purse. You know, take £50 from dad's wallet, it's okay. that if we don't teach from a young age, tomorrow this will get worse. So start from a very young age. As soon as you see the child doing something, make sure they go give that thing back and apologize as well.
Hasan Bhai, we have been talking about the blessings and barakas of earning halal income. Now let's talk about what are the consequences of earning haram income. Are there any ahadiths which guide us in this regard, please?
Yes, Hasan Bhai, there are a lot of hadiths in Mubarakah about haram, by the curse of the haram earning as well. Before going to that, I would like to mention before about mustajabul da'wah, that but that
the du'as are accepted
in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. There's one waqiyah I will mention. Once Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam passed by a place and saw that a person was busy making du'a in tears by raising his hand toward the sky. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam kept on seeing him and then humbly asked in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, O my Rabb, O my Rahim and Kareem Rabb Azza wa Jal, why are you not answering the dua of this bone man of yours? Allah Azza wa Jal sent a wahi to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Musa, I will not answer this person's dua even if he cries to death and raises his hands to the extent that they touch the sky. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam humbly asked, my Mullah, what is the reason behind it? He alayhi salam was responded, he eats haram and wears haram and there is haram wealth in his home. So this is what we're talking about, the du'as. No, a lot of people complain about in these days, my du'as are not accepted.
It's also a curse, isn't it?
It's also a curse.
So, consequence of earning haram income.
That's right.
He's wearing haram, he's eating haram, right? And this is the reason that du'as are not being accepted.
Du'as are not being accepted. Also, there are other consequences of earning haram as well. That hadith in one of the hadiths in Warqa, it says that I swear by the one under whose power the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. Undoubtedly, when a man puts a haram morsel into his stomach, his 40-day deeds are not accepted. And fire is better for the person who have consumed haram and riba, that is interest, to nourish his flesh.
Allah. Zoma, can you see from this, for example, that we want to be reading namaz, we go to the masjid, but the one who puts one most of his mission, as Hasan mentioned, his 40 days deeds are not accepted. We might be giving sadaqah in the way of Allah, making masajid, we might be doing so many good deeds, but again, we need to look back, where is this money coming from? And it's also mentioned here that a person who buys a cloth with 10 dirhams, and if one of the dirhams out of them is haram, Allah Azza wa Jal will not accept any of his salah until any portion of that cloth remains in use. So for example, we buy £10, we bought something, and out of one of that, £1, one section of that is from haram, our salahs will not be accepted. So we are reading namaz, but because we are wearing haram clothing, and our namaz is not accepted. So we need to keep on checking again and again and again. We don't want on the day of judgment, we find that all of our life, all the deeds we committed are finished because of our haram earnings and our haram wearing and our haram feeding to us and our children.
MashaAllah.
Like Uqasbi mentioned regarding doing a good deed and not accepted. There's another hadith of Mubarak as well, that the angel of Allah Azza wa Jal every day and night proclaims on the roof of Baitul Muqaddas that whoever consumes haram, Allah Azza wa Jal will neither accept any of his fard nor any nafal.
Allah.
So these are all the consequences of earning haram food. That neither of its fries will be accepted and nor the namafal.
My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, there could be some viewers, they could be thinking that they're talking about halal, they're talking about haram, but we don't earn haram. We are all fine. We are earning halal, alhamdulillah. But dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, this is very, very important. We need to seek knowledge. Maybe we are thinking that we are earning halal, but it could not be halal. Yes, if we do not have knowledge, if we have not learned about the masail regarding selling and buying, and if we are doing business, right? Dear respected viewers of Malaysia, a person who cannot be zahid, a person who cannot be muttaqi, a person who cannot be a pious person, he cannot claim or he cannot be said as a pious person who doesn't have knowledge about buying and selling, but he is a businessman. There was a time of the Khulafa'i Rashidun where it was not allowed for a person who did not learn the masail to do buying and selling. He was not allowed to do trade. Yes, this was compulsory then because it relates to halal and haram. We might be a businessman, very good businessman. We are earning a lot, but we don't know the masail of buying and selling, what Quran has mentioned, what Ahadith has mentioned, what are the clear guidelines in this regard. So the good idea is we should take our business, put in front of Mufti Sahib, tell them please, this is what I am doing, this is the way, the method and means, the way we are earning. Tell us whether this way is halal or haram. Do scanning of your business. We take our businesses to so many professionals. We go to the accountants. We go to them and ask them that how can I get success? Please guide us. You pay a lot of money to them. It's a free service. Now this time is Sunnah. Mufti Sahib, this is what I'm earning. Please tell me, because this is something to do with my children. This is something to do in this dunya. This is something to do for me to get my du'as accepted. This is something to do to avoid any consequences of this dunya in the hereafter. This is very important what I'm earning. This business should be scanned. And then, another important point, not only business people, they need to learn what is halal and haram. A person who is employee or he is an employer, they have got certain guidelines.
Each person who is in business or trade or any type of business that we are in, we must get it checked. First, you get your business checked. Employee should get, where I am working, is it right? For example, even small things like when we go to the offices, we might have office stationery there. Sometimes we might take something from there, like a pencil or a pen or a calculator.
For personal use.
For personal use. Or we work in a takeaway shop. How much are we actually allowed to eat something from there? These things that...
And the terms and conditions, if they are not right.
Exactly. This is very, very
employment.
Very
important. There will be a problem.
And the awliya Allah, they were very cautious in this as well. The people of the past, they were so cautious in this halal and haram. They would not take even one thing from there. From one thing from their employment where they were, without asking the employer, without knowing, getting it checked. But us, unfortunately, again, because of our, we are far away from the deen, we are far away from Islam, we don't have this mindset. Let me get it checked. If I'm working in a bank, am I earning halal or haram? If I'm working in a supermarket, is it halal or haram? Mostly might be halal on one side. A few things might be haram there. Can I serve that? Can I give that? For example, if I'm in a supermarket, there's alcohol there, there's other haram things there. What can I do? So we must get this check from Mufti Sahib and see what we are earning is halal or haram.
Zombie, like Vakasbe said, that our pious predecessors, they used to look after these things, you know, are they earning halal? And they used to get a knowledge about it. There's a very beautiful parable, the faith profession parable, that Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adam, rahmatullah ta'ala, he stated that I once traveled to a city named Tarsus in search of halal sustenance.
Okay.
When I reached there, a man approached me and said, I need a person who can guard and look after my grape orchard. Are you ready to look after my orchard on a wage? I replied in the affirmative.
I said, yes, I'm ready.
Yes, I'm ready. I went with that person and began to work in his orchard with great dedication and hard work. One day, the owner of the orchard, along with some of his friends, came to the orchard and asked me to bring some best quality sweet grapes. Having heard this, I brought him a huge quantity of grapes. When the owner ate a grape, it was sour. He said to me, O the god of this orchard, very sorry to say that you have been working here for a long time, but still you haven't been able to recognize sweet and sour grapes. Then you would be eating a lot of grapes from here all day and night. I said to the owner of the orchard, by Allah Azza wa Jal, I haven't eaten even a single grape from this orchard of yours.
Allah.
Because I have been here only for looking after this orchard. That's why I could not identify which are sweet and which ones are sour. Having heard this, the owner said to his friends, could there be anything stranger than this, that a person stays for a long time in an orchard so honestly that he does not eat even a single grape from it?
Allah.
This person seems obstinate like Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullah ta'ala. The owner of the orchard did not know that this person is actually Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullah alayhi. So this is such a beautiful waqia, you know, that our awliya ikram, that Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullah ta'ala has been working in the orchard of the grapes, in the grape orchards.
Subhan.
And he did not eat a single grape.
Allah.
And look at our condition. We go to work and then we don't care about it. You know, we don't even ask that you know, this thing, can we take it or not? Can sometimes, you know, people take the work stuff, you know, the pencils and the papers, and they're using their printers. They're using a lot of these different things, you know, and they don't even ask the owner, can we use or not? And look at that, the our pious predecessors.
What was their piety? Is there any book available so that people, they're watching, they want to learn about halal and haram, or maybe they are doing business, they want to know the terms and conditions, or maybe those, they are employee or employers, they want to know about it. What is the book would you recommend?
MashaAllah, yes, Rizwanbhaji, is Amir al-Sunnah has written a book called 50 Madri Pearls of Earning Halal. This is available on Maktabatul Madina stores, or if you can go to dawatislami.net and you can download this free of cost as well. I urge everybody, whether you have a business, whether you are working or as an employer or an employee, read this book and take the Madri Pearls which Amir al-Sunnah has written there and implement that in our lives as well, inshallah. Mm-hmm. To gain a better life for us in the dunya and our better akhirah, to save ourselves from problems and destruction in the akhirah.
MashaAllah. Dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Sharon, today we've talked about the blessings and barakas of earning halal income. And we've also touched upon the consequences of earning haram. Finally, I would like to add this point here. Halal has been clearly mentioned in Sharia. Haram has already been declared by Islam. These two things are crystal clear. They have been declared. Right? Further, there's a third thing, which is called shubhat. Something which is dubious. Something which is in doubt. For example, if something is in front of me to eat, right? I'm not sure whether this is halal or haram. And there's a doubt. So even those they are sulaha, those they are pious people, those they have got taqwa, those they've got piety, alhamdulillah, they try to abstain from that too. They try to refrain from shubhat too. They try to save themselves, protect themselves from those acts, from those things which have a doubt, whether that is halal or haram. It could be a business which is halal or haram and you have got a doubt. It could be something to eat. It could be anything. If you have got a doubt, then the piety is, the taqwa is that you avoid. Or you make it clear, you remove that shubha and then do it. My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, a beautiful example is given in this regard. If somebody brings a food and it is in front of us and we have to eat that, a person comes and says, there is a poison in this food. Another person says, no, there isn't any poison. What will happen? A doubt is created. Now, even the person who is saying there is no poison inside the food, and he is more authentic and reliable person who is saying, and the person who is saying there is a poison inside, he is less reliable. But what will happen? To secure our life, one will not touch that food. Because there is shubha inside. Because there is a doubt inside. So we try to avoid such food if there is any sort of shubha which could danger our life. And we avoid that. We leave that. We do not eat that. What about those things and stuff which has got shubha, a doubt in it, and that is linked with our iman, not our jaan, not our life. Rather, that is linked with our iman, our faith. Why don't we avoid there? Dear respective viewers of Madani Channel, so whatever you are earning, you should earn halal. And halal source of income is very important. At the same time, alhamdulillah, on this very beautiful occasion of Eid al-Adha, we are eating halal food. There are Muslims who are very conscious. They go check labels, they do all sorts of research. They go internet, they see the ingredients, even the codes. They want to find this chocolate is halal or haram. This sweet is halal or haram, which we're going to feed our children. But what happens to them when they are earning haram? That is to be checked at the same time. It's very important and crucial message which we would like to give from this platform of Dawat-e-Islami. Madani Channel, inshallah. Keep watching Madani Channel. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us ability to earn halal. Ameen. Bizahin Nabiyil Ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
This Eidul Adha, this Eidul Adha, this Eidul Adha, this Eidul Adha. May Allah's blessings bring happiness, peace and prosperity.